Accession number 11460, Reel 5.
Before we go on, I believe you've just got a story you want to tell about your time on the Western Front.
Just about the water. There was this time where everybody was short of water, you know. They couldn't get a drink of water. And I knew, like some of the rest, there's a water tank, rather building, you know, you see them in fields, you know, over a well or something. So I said, well, there's fine water in that thing there, if we can get across to you. Of course, you had to go, of course, look in the field, you see.
Was this near St. Julian?
That's right, St. Julian. So I got the water bottles collected. I said, by Jove, I'd like a drink of that water, you know. So anyway, the water was scarce, and I said, well, I'll have a go at it. So I got 3 or 4 water bottles for some of the boys, you know. Of course, you had to take your rifle with you, right? Everything like that, you know. So I set sail, and just as it was halfway across, up went a light, you know, and of course, I flopped down. Flies on the ground again, and after it was off, I went up again, you see, and I was getting nearer and nearer to this water house, what you call the water house. So went round to find the door, see. So anyway, the door was at the opposite side where I was walking in, you see. We had to go round the back, so went in. I seen this white thing in the corner, so I filled all the bottles, you see, and never thinking this thing went. See? And I just simply dropped all the water bottles again. It was an Arab shelter, an Arab, you know, with a white goon on, sitting in the corner like this, you see. Of course, I never thought what it was at the time. I was with the water bottles filled when he went, I was in the 5 minutes and I was out that door. I was such a fright.
And who was he, from the French?
The Arab men, you know, the foreigner, you know, the Arab country. The Arabs, they were always sitting about somewhere. And I told some of the fellows when I went back, you know, well, they will help us. I said, you get afraid. I said, you get afraid, Eric? I said, I didn't have to get afraid. I said, worse than the blooming Germans.
I believe that just after you'd been wounded, you met an Irish. Can you tell us that story?
Well, they called him Bob Leith. When I was going into the trench, very dark. How he knew it was me, I do not know. For I says, I wasn't talking to anything. He just happened to say, at the time, I said, I must have been talking to somebody about what's happened to me, see. So he says, is that you, Alec? I says, yes. I says, is that you, Bob? I knew his voice, you see. He says, aye. He says, this is me. He says, what's wrong? Oh, I said, I've got wounded. Oh, he says, you're lucky so-and-so, you. Just like that. So I said, oh, I said, no, about luck, Bob. I said, I've got hit. He said, I'll be seeing you. Of course, I never seen him again. I've seen him when he came home, like he was all right. So that was a story with that.
So that was just before the stretcher bearer. You refused
that's right,
to go
yeah,
on the
that's
stretcher
right.
bearer.
That's,
the chap carried
that's
you
when
back.
That's when I was going into the trench, when I was crawling back. That's when it was.
So getting back to the hospital, where you've been at Craig Reith for about 7 months, taking you through.
Off and on, different hospitals, but that was the main one.
So you'd be getting now on to January, January 16 or so.
That's right,
perhaps
yeah.
Late December.
That's right.
And how could they discharge you when your arm was in that, say, T unit?
Often wondered that myself, and I was sent back to the KOSBs.
Shouldn't you have gone to convalescence camp?
Yes, well, that's what they sent me, to do light duty there.
So you were sent to Berwick?
No, Craig Miller, Edinburgh.
Craig Miller?
And that's near Arthur's Seat. Craig Miller camp.
And which bunch of the KOSBs were there?
That's the reserve battalion again.
The third,
yes. Feeding battalion.
And what did they say when you got there? Because you couldn't have been much used to them.
So they're going to put me on different duties, you know, huts and this. Like, oh, I says, I'm not fit for that job. Oh, but so you have to give us a hand in the hut. See, I says, that's up to the doctor. You know, the orderly men, you know, they like to bust the huts. You know. Well, you'll be in charge of the hut and somebody else in charge. Then you say, hey, you give me a hut tomorrow morning, you see. Oh, I says, no, thank you. Oh, you'll have to take a turn. I says, no. I says, I'm no fit. I says, I'll see what the doctor says in the morning. So I says, put me on a sick report to the sergeant, you see. So I put me on a sick report, I can remember, and I went up to the doctor. And first chin was getting examined, you see, when I came my turn, oh, he says, you've been wounded. I says, oh, yes, sir. See your wounds? I says, so I stripped off. You see, so I was still in bandages like this, sir.
So you still, your arm was still bandaged?
Oh, still bandaged, yes.
What about your shrapnel wounds?
Oh, that was all healed up.
So your stomach and your side, yeah, and your shoulder were, yeah, all better?
All better.
Your thumb was still useless?
Oh, yes, yes, sir.
And your arm was?
Yeah, it was useless, yes. So I says to the doctor, this is wounded. I said, oh, yes, sir. So he got and examined it. Oh. I said, they're telling me I'll have to do some work in the hut, sir. I said, I don't know how I'm going to do that with one arm. He says, who said this? I says, Orleman, you see, what you call Orleman then. I says, he's the boss in the hut. Oh, yes, I'll soon put him right. So he put in the thing, excused all duties till further notice. So I says to Philly, I said, oh, yeah, sir, I'll just like to see before you see any more. Excuse the old duties. So she starts, still kind of busts me about. Oh, you know. Oh. She, yeah, they kind of, I says, I just like you. I just tell her straight.
I so says, what were you doing?
Then? Oh, I just walked about. I said, I'll give anybody a hand, you know, for the, like say, anybody for a walk or anything like that. Some of the older people wounded too, you see. So the
side. So you didn't do any parades?
No,
or any?
No. No, excuse all duties. So the sergeant I was getting was very polished, some of them. He said, I'll tell you what to do. He says, I'll give you some men to have a bit of walk down to the camp this afternoon. He says, some of the older ones, you know. He says, you can take charge of them.
So, you were still a private, were you?
Yeah, yes, yeah. So he says, be a fine job for you. Get to talk to you, see. So I didn't know that job. Fine, he's taking me around to the hall, you know, and he used to be a sunny day. Have a bit seat and a bit leather, you know, past the time, and so I got on fine. And then it came to the, I was getting a lot better, and the party wanted for to join the Seaforth Highlanders in Dunfermline, so there was a fall-in parade there, so they asked if I'd like to go. I said, I don't mind, I says, if it's going to relieve somebody fitter than myself to take their job. So I was sent along to Dunfermline.
Now, which battalion of the Seaforth Highlanders did you join?
What you call the, I think it was the third.
The reserve again?
The reserve battalion.
And you were being sent to them?
Yes, for a staff job. That's working, you know, in different places. So they.
So not to join the battalion as a soldier?
No. But, as we were sent, I was a soldier as far as the Seaforth was concerned. Battalion, you know what I mean? I was
so you joined the Seaforth?
I was joined the Seaforth from the KOSBs. I was finished with the KOSBs, joined the Seaforth. I got the kilt and everything like that, you see.
You got a kilt?
Oh, I had a kilt. That's it. We did the tartan rug there.
And what did you... before, you just had normal uniform, hadn't you?
That's
you,
right,
you
yeah.
hadn't had tartan trousers?
Oh, no.
You'd just been in...
Khaki.
What did you think of the kilt?
Oh, great. I liked the kilt. Oh,
why was that?
Oh, well, he said, well, I was been used to them before. So anyway...
You wore a kilt at home in Ireland?
A wee one, when I was a wee one.
Not when you were a lad?
A lad, yeah.
So
when I was very, very young, man. I never went to school in one. No.
But you liked the idea of it?
Oh, yes.
So you were put to... You were assigned to the sea...
No, not a soldier.
Ordinary soldier.
At the time.
Which company, do you know?
I was sent to the transport company from there. When I was picked out on the parade, you see, if I could do the horses. I think I told you that already.
Well, could you tell us on the tape, though?
On the tape. So they're going around, you know, what did you do in civil life? See, well, I said, I worked on a farm, you see. Horses? I said, yes, sir. He said, when I was on the farm before I went to the army, I says, working a pair. Two horses. He says, two horses, is he, young laddie? I said, oh, yeah. He said, could you drive two horses? I said, oh, yes, no trouble. Just like that, you know. So there's a sergeant with him, you see, transport sergeant. He says, sergeant, I says, could you do a man like this? Can drive two horses? He said, if I can drive two horses, long drive, he said, I could do with him. He said, you kind of get them already. I could hear him saying, yeah. So the colonel says, well, he says, there you are. There's a man for you. So he says to me, you'll be on the transport sergeant. And I says, right. I says, thank you, sir. Just like that, you know, to the colonel. So I was drafted to the house where the other transport boys were billeted. You see that house on their own, you can, a big house.
Were the rest of the battalion in, where were they?
Oh, they were in barracks. You know,
and
that,
you were put to a house?
An old house, you know, made into rooms, you can, for transport. And the stables were down there too, you see, the horses, you see. So I went to the horses, so he says, well, if you can drive a pair of horses, this will be your pair here. This is Gypsy and Maggie, you know, the two horses. But he says, you'll only look after one. He says, you're what you call the brakesman, is in charge of the other one. That's his pigeon, you see. He says, you look after one. He says, the brakesman looks after the other one. He says, he grooms it, does their harness, everything like that. He says, feeds it and everything. He says, you only do one. But he says, when you're out, he says, you're in charge. He says, you drive. He says, not the other man. He says, he never touches them. He does the braking. You know, the transport brake. You see, the pole goes up the centre, as you know, when you yoke the horses in. So he says, you're in charge of the driving. He says, he marks the brake. You can brake in the transport.
So, can I just ask you, how did you drive the horse? What? So you had two horses.
Yes.
With a pole down the middle?
Pole down the middle, long reins, sit in the dickey.
So the Gypsy and Maggie were attached to the pole?
That's it, chains and their collars. Chains, you know, chains at the end of the pole.
And then
you had a rein for this side, you see. Well, that rein split to the rein on the other side of the horse, you see. But they were both on the same side, this side, and went to the other side, you see. And when you pull this rein, you pull another horse to the left as well as this one. See what I mean? And right, you had the rein for this side to this horse here. So he was only driving like one horse then, but it just affected the two. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you pull this way, they both went the same way, pull this and this way.
Was your arm strong enough?
Oh, yes, it was getting, well, no, strong enough, but I could work it. Yeah.
Enough
to control the horse, but most of my right hand, you know. This one's just doing most of the work.
And the brakesman, where was his brake? He sat alongside you?
Well, he sat on the right-hand side with the brake. I sat on the left-hand side with the...
And the brake was a pole that went down to the wheel, was it?
The brake went right down to the wheel. A big lever, you see, for the brakes and the wheel, the back wheels.
The back wheels?
The back wheels, yes. Front wheels is roping, you can.
So it was a four-wheeled...
Four-wheeled vehicle, yes. Four-wheeled tank, big truck.
It was a big truck?
Oh, yes.
Open?
Army truck, open, yes. Harbour. And your dickie seat, you know, for driving, sitting on.
And what would a typical day be like? How would a day's routine start? I'm looking at how you looked after the horses as well.
Well, the morning, you fed them in the morning, you see. Cleaned
what
them,
would they eat?
Cleaned them out and groomed them, fed them.
So which would come first? Do you feed them or groom them?
Oh, feed them.
What were they fed? Oats?
Oats and hay. So many oats and so much hay. You had to get your rations. You drew your rations for the horses, you see. I drew mine, the other fellow drew his.
Which was yours? Gypsy ration. Or Maggie?
What?
Which was your horse, Gypsy or Maggie?
Oh, Gypsy. Gypsy.
So you draw the rat, you feed them. Would you water them at the same time?
Yes, water at the same time.
And then how did you go about grooming them? What was the way of properly grooming, grooming a horse?
You had a comb, a catacomb, you see, and you had a brush, a big brush, a bigger brush, then you had the body brush. That's just a strap on your hand, you see. And but my left arm here wasn't so good, so I had to do extra grooming with my right hand, you see, but still was always passed out with the sergeant anyway, as good as any of them with my right arm.
So you had to brush them down with
yes. Wash their legs too, wash their legs, do their tails, comb their tails out, and pleat their tails. They used to do all the, when they all got all the nice shit. I said to my boy, Denibar, I said, let me do the pleating, you see. I said, we'll get them nicely groomed. So they used to wave them their tail. But they used to admire the way they used to turn the horses out.
They've had a lot of practice at this,
I'm with Bill. I had all of from A to Z. None of them could learn me anything about the horses anyway, as far as groomed was concerned.
Did you enjoy grooming?
Oh, yes.
And you got very close to Gypsy then, didn't
oh,
you?
Oh, yes. Oh, I could do anything with it. She used to lick me and everything. Yeah. Used to give her something on the slag, you know, if I got a bit turnip or anything like that, through the cookhouse. for a carrot. I'm giving him a carrot each. Old film in the cookies, see, you get me hung, Alec. I says, what for? Oh, I says, I like to get the horses. He says, the horses will follow you to bed some night.
Did the other chap, what was his name? Do you remember his name?
Oh, what's his name again? Oh, he's an English fellow.
Doesn't matter. He looked after Maggie, didn't he? Was he able to, I mean, you were pretty well an expert. Was he able to keep Maggie in as good as
Oh, yes, yes, expert, he was good.
Oh, he was good as
Yes, I had him well schooled.
And did you teach him, or did he know already?
No, I gave him a good learning. He says, "Boy," he says, "Alec," he says, you're fairly getting me here. That's a game of hand. If he was out on the road, we had somewhere, you see, we had something and coming back empty, I used to give him a try to drive, you know, get him learned up. And then we used to change our positions on the top, like, it's just, there you are, you go and have a drive. And we used to
just passing the reins.
Pass the reins over to him.
Now, so you'd get up, you'd feed the horses and water them, and then you'd groom them, and then what would happen in a typical day?
Well, just wait on the sergeant and give me any orders where to go to.
How many, were you the only
No, there was another transport in the battalion.
There was another cart.
Another man, yes, but he was riding drive. He rode in the horse, you see, what you call riding drive. But there was a brakesman, he was in the lorry.
So there were just the two cars?
Two cars there, yeah.
So you were waiting on orders from your sergeant?
Oh, yes, sergeant, he gave the orders.
And what sort of things did he send you to do?
Well, just maybe coals.
Coals,
yes, because I had nothing to do with that at all, just to drive.
So where would you go to get that from?
Stations.
Dunfermline Station?
That's right. And then there was
But you wouldn't help with... You weren't expected to help with loading.
Oh, I didn't touch nothing at all. And then there was I went to the bakery. Just to go to the bakery for wheat, for loaves. Sometimes you got an extra loaf on the sly, you know, for yourself. Came home, but the cooking unit is very good stuff, you know. Oh, his name was Joe.
Your brakesman was
Joe. He could eat a loaf right off nearly. It might, you know.
Might pop back.
I mean,
what other jobs would you have? So, bakery, perhaps to the coal, what else would you
have? Well, there was no great lot after that, except just the usual routine.
And what was that?
Well, just look at doing your trucks and your harness and things like that.
So you had to polish up all the harness?
It had to be clean. You see, well, when you were riding and driving like that, you had no great lot of harness to clean. You just had their bridles and their collar and their straps to the vehicle, you see. And you had your chains on the front each. So anyway, I says to this Joe, this time, I says, you know, there's going to be an inspection coming up for the regiment, you see, and the other one, the Sea Force and the Argyles and the Black Watch, you see.
They were all in the barracks at Dunfermline?
Not necessarily, they were in camps, you see, around, and they were all in that same section.
And there was going to be an inspection of the lot?
And the lot, the horses and harness and vehicles like that. I said, we'll have to try and get first. He says, we'll never do it, Alec. I said, you try. I said, I used to have, when I was on the farm, we used to go to the shows, you know. Not a show, but you used to take a car there, you can, for the people on the farm, you know, a cheap ride, you see. And I said, we used to do the chains up, you can, the clear chains for the carts, and everybody used to admire them, you can. So I said, hey, game, I says, what? I says, you and I will go in there and get a bit of emery paper, and I says, some sand, and I says, an old sack, and I says, well, try and polish the chains up. Ah, he says, they'll never climb one. I said, oh, well, I said, you watch. So we got some sand. There was a split of sand, some of these builders, you know. Got some sand for them. And an old sack. And got the chain and cut the end, you see. And I'll say that was a pillar there in the stall. Tie the end there and put the sand and the damp sand and the chains in there. And see, saw them like this, you see, back and forth. And they used to do that for hours, the periods taking time. So we got the chains, they were about to clean, getting good stuff. We got them clear, so it came to the inspection. Everybody was, oh, look at them, clear change. I wonder where he got them out. He said, I think I would get them for you. I said, the same change as you've got. Yeah, like that. I said, it is, you know. You get them like that? I said, how do you do it? Ah, something I'm going to tell you. He's like, so we got first prize, you know, first to lead off the parade. Joe and I, we always had heard Joe. Oh, he was fearsome. I think I see him yet. Of course, we didn't get any prizes or anything like that. Just good the satisfaction of being leading off to the Sea Force. Oh, the old colonel was fair delighted. Colonel Dingwall. It was Colonel Addison Smith was the first, but it was Colonel Dingwall later on. And then I was promoted to the colonel's groom after that.
I'll come back to that. So you were on this transport, and that was your it sounds if besides the grooming and the odd trips you made, that it wasn't that busy or hard a life at the time.
Oh, no. I coped with it fine. I had no lifting to do, no lifting at all.
Had you been medically graded? I forgot to ask you when you left hospital.
Yes.
What grade were you? You must have been pretty low.
B grade. He was first grade and B was second.
Were you working? I mean, you'd been in physical culture.
Oh, yes.
Did you work yourself to try and get your arm?
Oh, yes.
How did you try?
Oh, just gripping like this, a ball or something like that, and stretching out, you know, stuff like that. And you can't do this, you see. You can't back and forth maybe 20 times, and then you have a rest, and I have another go later on at night.
Was it painful?
At times, yes. At times it was. Because the bones started cracking, you see. See, it was never, you couldn't have set it. The bones were that much shut on.
How much use did you get back into it by, you know, at that time? Because even now it's still not right, is it?
It still cracks, as you know.
I heard it crack yesterday, that's right.
Yeah, so it was cracking this morning before you came.
So at the time, were you able to lift with it or anything? Or
Very little.
So there was no real chance for you going back on active service. Were you pleased? Had you had enough of active service?
Oh, yes. I said, well, there's one thing. I'll not be in active service again, won't we? And then...
You didn't want to get back.
No.
You'd had enough.
Yeah. So I got on fine in the track, and then I was promoted to Colonel's groom. Of course, I had a horse too, you see. He had a horse, and I had to go with him when he was out riding. So I had to go with him.
So, did you have to groom both horses?
Yes.
Your own horse and his horse?
I had two then.
So you were off this car?
Off the car, Joe, altogether.
But still living in
Still living in the transport building. And the stable. Same stable.
And do you remember the colonel's horse? Which and your own horse? What were they called? Sounds if you weren't quite as close to them as
There was one, the one that I had, he was a right so little so-and-so. He'd hardly walk, you know.
Your horse was?
You know, but the colonel, he had a right, he was a black one. Oh, black. Did they call him Bess? No. Oh.
So your job was...
You see, there were so many horses, you see, you forget, you see.
And your job was to groom up the colonel's horse and his...
Saddle rails and everything like that. Bridles and everything like that, and brush it and tear it and everything like that.
And then you do your own?
Then the more one, yes.
Did you enjoy that?
Oh, yes. And you see, I used to go up to his office, the office every morning. I had to be there at 9 o'clock.
With the horse done?
Just walking with the horse in the stable. I had to go up for orders.
Would you have done the horse by then?
Oh, yes. Horse was all done then.
So you'd go at night, and this is Colonel Dingwall.
No, the Colonel, that's the one, Dingwall.
And you'd meet him at 9 for orders?
Meet him at 9 in orders, yes.
And what sort of thing would he do?
He'd say, well, I used to go right, I wouldn't talk to anybody at the door, sergeant, major, anybody, just, they would know that you was my groom, you see, just come straight in, up to the desk, he's with the desk. So, he'd say, good morning. I said, good morning, sir. What likes the weather? He's wee bit dirty here. Nice morning, sir. Good day for a ride? I said, yes, sir. Right. He says, you go yourself and have a ride out. He says, I said, that's it. He said, I won't require it today.
I said, he just sent you off for a ride
and go? No, I said, of course I didn't go very far. We went a mile up the road and put the pair of horses, take them back again, put them in the stable, get them a dress up, you know, and get their bedding done up. You never showed him coming down to see, you know. See, he was like that. He used to come down now and again. Suppose he was in the riding, went to the stable to see everything was all right.
He's so you were responsible for keeping the stables mucked out and clean?
Two horses. Keep them clean.
Were all the horses kept together?
Yes, stall on the way along.
So your two horses would be one side, and then the cart horses used from the
cart horses were different part of the stable. The captain, each company then, had a horse. See, then they had all horses. All the captains had a horse. See, there was the adjutant, the major, he had a horse. The adjutant, he had a horse. And the next company, he had a horse. See, there was about five or six grooms, you see.
So the officers' horses would be in one place.
One place.
And then the transport horses.
Another part of the stable.
And you had to keep the stable clean and the bedding.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, there was a corporal here, he was there for that. But you looked after your own horses, you see. The corporal seen that the stable was kept clean.
So you just had to keep an eye on
things. That's right, yes.
Now, what about when you went for orders and the colonel did want you to do something?
Yes.
What
he would say, route march today, well, we were leaving at, say, 10 o'clock, and you have my horses as usual. It's very good, sir.
What would that mean, horses?
Horses, well, I used to get the horses ready for that parade, you see. Take them up to where he was going to start off at, the battalion. And stand to the side, the time he was getting all rigged up, getting all lined up. And after I got him, I used to get him mounted, you see. Hold on to mine at the same time, get him mounted. And he would...
Well, you'd give him a hand on the horse?
I used to stand, when it gets mounted, you had to stand and hold your horse. Then the colonel's on his back, you see. And after it's all right, well, he went away. I put the stirrup in his into the foot, you see. I used to wait till the battalion got past after the march, and I used to fall into the back of the battalion on my horse, you see.
Well, you were allowed to ride after them,
were you? Oh, I had to, yes. I had to ride after them. Then maybe
well, that's easier than foot slogging.
Oh, yes. So I just ride on my horse. And then he maybe send word along, groom wanted. Groom wanted. You know, along the line, groom wanted, till he got back to me. And I used to trot up the side of the battalion, up to the colonel, you see. And he'd be dismounted, you see, and get the head of his horse and pulled into the side and let the battalion all pass. You know, I used to fall into the back again with a pair of horses, you see. I ride mine and leading his, you see. And maybe a mile along the road, or maybe more. Groom wanted, this is me. Run up, take the horses up again to the front of the battalion again, get him mounted again.
So he'd walk a while, would he?
Oh, yes, used to walk in front of the battalion, oh, yes.
He doesn't sound as if he was that keen on riding.
No, he was getting, of course, he's an oldish man, you know. He's in fact an antique dealer to his trade. The old dingo, not a nice man to Dullahee, and he says. Oh, I used to use some right, and we used to go to Stirling from the Bridge of Allen then, you see, went to the Bridge of Allen. I took the Stirling, you know, the town of Stirling. So there's the day there was a meeting on in Stirling Castle. So we went across there, he had a horse like, and I was with him, like, riding with him. And you see, it was very good, though, you see, come up here. He's come beside him, you see, he's the chaff going along the road, you know, and just shout to him, you know, get him to hear. So whenever there's a day we get to the castle, and it's a pretty kind of prominent place, you see. And so go in there and we go off and went away and we said, I don't know how long we'll be. He says, oh, that's all right, sir. So I just kept on, you know, up in the prince, but walk about, you see, the stand, you know, the horses. So he came out, he says, I think we're going to be a bit late for lunch, he says. Oh, that's quite all right, sir. So we'll get something, you know, for him and I used to have a bit talking and again. He's awfully nice fun. So we're going along the Stirling Street, making out for what they call Causeway Head, before you come to the Bridge of Holland. So he says, he dismounted. I said, what are you going to do here? So he says, hold the horses hold a minute. So he went into the baker's shop. And I think I see him yet. He came with a little bag. He pressed. There he is. He says, we'll have a pie on the way out. The colonel of the regiment and I in his groom eating a pie. So he said, I'll keep us going. Don't spend no time. He says. So he was sitting on his foot. We hear the cracking of it. He says, we'll pull this over. We'll go to lunch, he says. Oh, I said, that's all right, sir. So he said, be sure and go up there and see your, get your lunch. He said, if not, just come down to the officer's mess, he says, and we'll get some there. So anyway, they kept it for me in the battalion. They knew I'd be a bug sometime. You know, he's all right, nice, funny.
It's very informal as well for a colonel.
Oh, yes, very, very nice. He just treated me like the same as his, you know, like his own family. So he said, do you eat your lunch all right? I said, oh, yes, sir. He says, that was good. So here the battalion was going to be broken up. So sent to Blair Gowrie then.